Welcome back to the Woodbury Report. I'm Lon Woodbury, an independent educational consultant located in North Idaho. All the interviews in this series can be found at strugglingteens.com, along with 26 years of essays, visit reports, press releases relating to the network of private parent choice residential schools and programs working with teens and young people making poor decisions. Now today is August 26, 2015, and we're going to talk about dieting. My guest is Sheila Foreman. Good afternoon, Sheila. Good to have you here.
Thank you very much, Lon. It's a privilege to be on your show.
Okay, well, Sheila is a clinical psychologist located in Southern California, Santa Monica to be precise, and she's written a book, The Best Diet Begins in Your Mind, and that's going to be what we're going to talk about, so that's the title, The Best Diet Begins in Your Mind. So, Sheila, let's start with a sort of a comparison. What is the main problem or weakness of most diets?
My experience with diets is that they only address the physical component of weight loss. In other words, they tell you what to eat, how much to eat, when to eat, what not to eat, but they don't address the emotions. And my experience as a psychologist is that most people struggle with weight issues because they're struggling with emotional issues. And from my perspective, the way that you learn to manage your weight is by learning to manage your emotions. Many people overeat in response to stress and anxiety, for example. There isn't a diet plan in the world that's going to handle that until you learn how to handle your stress and your anxiety separately from what you do or do not eat.
That's a very common concept in the network that I work in, the private residential schools, or some specifically on that. But even the ones that are generally therapeutic boarding schools or wilderness therapy, they have that concept that nutrition and the diet is very important, and that's the mental and the emotional attitude is important. So, what are the main themes in your book, The Best Diet Begins in Your Mind? Could you explain a little bit about that, and then some of the major themes?
Of course. Certainly. What I've done, this is a very concise book. I've addressed eight specific emotions that in my 20-plus years researching and treating people with weight and emotional eating-related matters, I've identified as the emotions that most people eat over. And they are anger, boredom, feelings of deprivation, fear and anxiety, hopelessness, loneliness, sadness, stress and tension. And what I've done is chapter by chapter, emotion by emotion, I've gone over what are these emotions, what do they look like, and how can you address them more proactively rather than turning to food as your coping mechanism.
Okay.
So it's really a crash course in how to handle your emotions so that you don't eat over them, but rather you express them.
Okay, let's take a person that starts with, they have a weight problem, nothing's worked, and they come to you, they read your book, or come to you for a session, and so how would you begin that? What would you first explain to them?
The first thing that I would explain to them is that their weight has a lot to do with their life story, their history, and how they deal with their life, because the way that they live their life, the foods that they eat, how they handle their stress, how they manage their relationships, all conspire to keep them at the weight that they are at now. And so little by little through the course of therapy, I help pull all of that apart. What are the roles of their emotions in their eating habits? How are their relationships? I work with a lot of people who are very lonely, even though I live in a big city and I work in a big city. They feel lonely. They come home at the end of a busy day, and there's nobody to greet them, so they open the refrigerator, they eat the half a pizza that was left over from the weekend, and they go to sleep. My work would be to help them see that that's what they're doing and to figure out what else can they do at the end of the day besides open the refrigerator and eat half a pizza.
All right. Well, let's say the client is a parent brings a teenager in, an adolescent, and they're having a weight problem, and they want some help. So how would you approach that? How would you approach working with the teenager or helping the parents educate the teenagers to how properly to think?
That's a great question. I get asked that a lot by parents. What do I do? My kid is overweight. And the first question I always ask back is, what are your eating habits? What are your lifestyle habits? Because children, young children, adolescents, learn by observation. We're social learning creatures. We see what happens around us. We learn from that. So I focus on the parents and what's going on in the family. If the parent is coming home at the end of the day eating that half a pizza pie, it doesn't surprise me that the child would do a similar kind of behavior. So when I'm working with families, it's really everybody involved. It's what are the parents' habits in terms of food, nutrition, exercise, stress management, and then the children's as well. But I always turn it back to the parents. They don't always like it, but that's the place that I start.
Maybe a good way to approach this, if you can think of some examples, and not to identify the client, but some examples. The family came, presented you with this problem. What was your steps you went through, and what was you concluded? Give a couple for instances.
I can actually give you a really good example. This was a young woman. She came to me at 16, and she actually was starting to throw up her food. So not only was she overeating, but she was always also starting to throw it up, which is the signs of the beginning of an eating disorder. So her parents, to their credit, recognized that the throwing up behavior was a danger sign, and they brought her in. But what I also noticed was not only was this 16-year-old morbidly obese, but so were her parents. And so what I ended up doing was family therapy. And it wasn't about the food anymore. It's rarely about the food. It's really about what's going on in the family dynamics. What's going on? Is it a safe environment for this family? Is it a safe environment for this child? How are the parents handling the stress? They had one of their children had passed away. The older brother had passed away. And that was a real trigger for this family in terms of their grief and their sorrow, and they were eating over it. So my therapy really wasn't about the food. It wasn't about the weight. It was about helping them address the grief and sorrow of losing their son or brother. And as they healed, the food issues started to heal as well. There was less overeating. There was more family activity, and they started to step back into life.
That's
a relatively dramatic example,
yeah.
But that's a pretty typical one, because my work is rarely, rarely about the food. It's typically about the emotions and the psychology for the person or the family, depending on who's come in for help.
How did that work out? Was there still a conscious effort on diet, or did it pretty much take care of itself once they went through the healing process?
Well, with this particular family, the daughter didn't have to diet. She was still a young person. The parents, actually, I think they went to a nationally known weight management kind of program and got some weight off. But what I find with many of my clients is once they get their emotional life in order, the weight takes care of itself. Or the way that my book is titled, The Best Diet Begins in Your Mind, many people will, once they have their emotions in order, are then available for a healthy diet, whether it's a nationally known program or they find a good book or a doctor or nutritionist who recommends it. But unless you have your head on straight, it doesn't really matter what diet you go on. It's unlikely that it will sustain you for the long term if you're still eating in response to your emotions.
I like that. That probably applies for most of the world's problems. Get your head on straight first.
Yeah, we could solve a lot of problems if we could do that with everybody.
Oh, absolutely. Well, can you think of another example that would portray another aspect of this?
With respect to a teenager and a child, or
yeah.
Just in general?
Oh,
with
either
a teenager
way.
Teenager, child.
Yeah, teenager.
Okay, yeah,
preferably.
I actually most of my work is with adults, but a lot of times the adults will come in, and they, particularly mothers, who say, "I'm very worried that my child is developing bad eating habits. My child is coming home after school, and all they're doing is playing video games and eating and whatnot." And again, I start with the mother, and I say, "Well, what do you do at the end of the day?" And as the mother starts to change her behavior, she goes out for a bike ride, or she goes for a swim, and she encourages the child to come with her, the eating issues start to get resolved. So, and again, in that case, I start with the mother, what's going on for her emotionally and physically, and then it trickles down to the kids.
All right, well, so what would be the main takeaway you would hope that people from this short interview that parents could adopt? What would be the main takeaway concept?
The main takeaway for the parents, and they're not going to like this, is look in the mirror and ask yourself, what am I doing? How am I role modeling healthy habits for my children when it comes to food choices, stress management, and exercise? And if they don't like what they see, my recommendation is that the parents, should start with themselves to adapt healthier behaviors and attitudes, and then they'll see that the children will start to fall in line.
How about takeaway for the kids maybe should take from this?
For the kids, what I would recommend is that it's not about the food, that it's about lifestyle, and I would encourage them to find hobbies and interests that really fill them up and that demonstrate their natural talents, whether it's in sports or arts or music, and to pursue them. And to have a life beyond a video game, to have a life beyond a nose in the book, but to really step out into the world. Because when I work with adults who have well-rounded lives and have hobbies and interests, they're actually healthier in terms of their emotional well-being in the long run. So if we can start with the little ones, then, you know, I always joke that if I do my job well, I'm going to work myself out of a job, and that would be my greatest pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like maybe to oversimplify it a little bit, the best way to do a diet is to adopt a healthy lifestyle.
Yes, because like I said in the beginning, your lifestyle, your weight reflects all aspects of your life. So if you're not sleeping well, your weight will reflect that. If you're not handling your emotions well, your weight will reflect that. If you're just a couch potato and you're not exercising, your weight will reflect that. So you're absolutely right. Address lifestyle and the weight will follow.
All right. Well, we're about run out of time. That's been very quick. But could you tell a little bit about your work, how people could get a hold of you if they had more questions?
Of course. My website is my name, drsheilaforman.com. That's drsheilaforman.com. You can reach me through my website. And if you're interested in this book, The Best Diet Begins in Your Mind, or either of my other two books, Selffulness, The Art of Loving and Caring for Yourself, or Do You Use Food to Cope, they're all available on Amazon.com.
Well, very great. Thank you very much. Been very quick, very enlightening. This is Lon Woodbury with the Woodbury Report. Been talking with Dr. Sheila Forman and talking about her book, The Best Diet Begins in Your Mind. Thank you very much. I really appreciate you spending the time, Sheila.
It's my pleasure. Anytime.